I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I thought it went well. You know, we have a lot of different reasons for that. Number one, to be very clear, the offensive struggles that have been going on with us has nothing to do with James Daniels not playing well or not performing. There's a lot of different things that we looked into with the situation, and we felt very comfortable with that. Today, again, to make a switch like that, there's two ways to look at it. There's a concern of, can the guys switch in a week's notice and go ahead and execute during game day? Well, we felt good about it because of those two guys and who they are. That's an easy deal. The next part is the execution of them doing it on game day, and they handled it well. We had a couple things here or there, but that's going to happen regardless.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is, of course, Matt Nagy, and we are welcoming in Rich Campbell. He, of course, covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the El Pomonte Ford Hotline. Al Pomonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great, great. Looking forward to L.A., looking out my back deck right here and seeing snow everywhere.
I hadn't thought of that. Let me tell you something. You did a fantastic job with the we're calling it the Trubisky treatise.
Thank you. Going over the, you and
Dan Wiederer, that was a wonderful story, very well researched, and we kind of talked about it this morning. Maybe the hook to your story is they're going to L.A. to play a guy that did get paid, that was thought to be the answer for a team. And certainly we're going to figure out what Mitch is and whether they have to pay him moving forward. And is he the guy they thought he was? But there's no denying the fact that the two guys taken after him have exceeded him in terms of their success in the NFL. And Mitch, of course, struggling as the Bears are this season. When you think about that story and you go through, I mean, it's exhaustive research you did, and I would recommend everyone make sure you do read it. What did you learn, Rich, that you didn't know before as you were researching that story?
I think the main lesson that I took away from it was that I wasn't sure that they were early. They were so out on Watson early in the process. Like they just didn't put him through the same type of get to know you process with the private workout and the dinner that they did with Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. And so you look at why Watson is succeeding in Houston. His college career speaks for itself. It's a terrific, you know, career, two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner. It was for the best quarterback in college football, national champion, beat Alabama on a final drive. Those things hate at you. If you're determined to draft a quarterback, why are you not doing your full due diligence or the same due diligence as you were on the other two guys? Now, the Bears will say that they obviously were comfortable with their evaluation, that Watson, they have durability concerns with his frame and the fact that he was carrying injuries into the NFL, previous knee injuries. He got hurt early in his career, which seemed to validate those. And he threw 17 interceptions his final season, despite winning the national championship. So the Bears were not alone in thinking that Mitch Trubisky was the best. But for me, I could look at Mahomes and easily compartmentalize, okay, the Chiefs had a great structure for him. Credit to the Chiefs and the infrastructure they had built. The Bears were lagging way behind that in terms of head coach and front office synergy. But with Watson, that's the one where I feel like we need more answers from Ryan about why they just were not interested so early in the process.
But Rich, I think that's a good point. At the same time, you said the Bears would say they were comfortable with their choice or decision. Yeah. an evaluation of Trubisky. I would say they were fixated on Trubisky, and they were almost enamored, infatuated, whatever adjective or whatever, you know, however you want to describe it. And they were so fixated on Trubisky to the point where they gave up the draft capital they gave up to move up, that I wonder what value a meeting with Watson would have served. And that doesn't make it right. It's not justifying the negligence. It's certainly not excusing it. But I do think it's understandable to me. They could have, and I said this earlier, they could have had a buddy weekend playing poker and smoking cigars with Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure that it would have made Ryan Pace fall out of love with Mitch.
Yeah, with you 100% on that, David. And I think there's some very interesting psychology that went on here. I mean, look at everything Pace has said about Mitch in terms of his personality. Pace was very attracted to Mitch's humility and the family support structure that he had around him. And there are some noteworthy overlaps in traits between Mitch and Ryan. Both guys were, you know, relatively under-recruited coming out of high school. You know, I just wonder if Pace saw some qualities in Mitch that he saw in himself. I agree with you that the word infatuated or fixated. I wrote in the story that Trubisky captured his heart and mind of Pace and Josh Lucas, and that's an interesting psychological test right there, because once you are, you know, you've taken that fork in the road, how willing are you to see what's in the other lanes still? And, you know, again, the Bears were not alone in their evaluation of Mitch as the top quarterback in the draft. But yeah, boy, the Watson factor now, that, you know, that ability to just win and the charisma, that is translating to the NFL. And he's also done a lot better protecting the ball. And so there you have a guy who's now a top five candidate for MVP this season.
You just sent a shiver down my spine, because the minute you talked about Ryan recognizing himself, the only thing that went through my mind was the idea that Phil Emery saw the turning roads and the dark hallways and all that he had gone through in Mark Trestman, not in Bruce Arians. And that you just gave me a shiver. If that's the way you're going about your job, then there are issues here beyond the pale. I that is just insane to me. What jumped out to me about the story is exactly what I was reminded of when the time came, when they actually drafted him. And I made some calls around the league and talked to a lot of people about Trubisky. And it was the same thing. The same problem that everybody had was that he was not productive enough in college. He hadn't played enough in college. He had had 1 year, and he didn't, even then, he didn't turn that program entirely around. They were bowl eligible. He had a terrible bowl game, but they went 8-5. You know, he didn't impact that program in the same fashion that you would think a great player would. And if Ryan Pace is looking for Drew Brees, how did he see Drew Brees, who took Purdue back to quarterback U? How did he see that in Mitch? That's what really bothered me as I read the story.
You know, I sat in that press conference on April 27th, 2 years ago, and specifically asked Ryan, how does Mitch meet the Drew Brees model for you? And he just said he felt like he did raise the program at UNC. He felt like he had the quarterback traits. And I just thought, okay, you know, you can look at Watson and very easily see that Watson met those criteria, lift the program, put it not only on the national stage, but succeed there. I mean, Drew Brees didn't win a national championship. He didn't beat Alabama the way Watson did. So for me, Jordan Palmer, who was a former Bears quarterback, and he was a tutor of Watson's, he was quoted in the story, and he was quoted at the time saying, don't overthink this. And I think in hindsight, it's pretty clear that there's, in that quotations, overthought, overthinking this. It's like, pick the winning quarterback, the guy who, like I said, two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner, and wins, beats Alabama, has that charisma, has the ability to galvanize his teammates. And the Bears just didn't go that direction. Now, what would be really interesting and what we never pinned down was what was the Texans draft ranking actually. I mean, did they have Watson one? They picked third. Two teams traded up and took the other two guys. Now, you know, did Watson just miraculously fall into their lap and they've done a great job with him? Or did they recognize these things as well? We might not ever know. Even the people we talked to in Houston were not dialed in on this completely. But it has obviously worked out for them. And the reasons Deshaun is succeeding were evident in college.
Rich, just a question about the mechanics here. I mean, I get it. You're publicly questioning the psychology of the Bears general manager. And I know he declined to be interviewed for this story. At what point do we hear from Ryan Pace, though? Because, look, if you're the Bears front office and you're sitting up there at Hallis Hall and you are being raked over the coals for a draft pick, you know, in 2017, and I get the context and I understand why, because it was the wrong pick. But at what point do you expect to hear from Ryan Pace? How hard was it to try to get him to talk about this specifically? And what do you expect him to say?
Yeah, we made multiple attempts to get Ryan to talk, to convince him that it was worth his while to speak to us for this. He did not feel comfortable doing so. We were able to directly contact him, not just necessarily go through media relations there. Ryan just is going to wait till the end of the season. As far as I know, I mean, that's sort of the approach that he's decided to take the last year or two, let the head coach have his voice and Pace will speak at the end of the season. And I would just say that when we have given some examples of quarterbacks who were maligned through two or three years in their career, but went on to be successful, whether it's Breeze himself, who was benched in San Diego, or Eli Manning, those are examples that are not lost on the team. Those are examples that are being looked at Hallis Hall for potential parallels. Now, you know, as we put in the story, if you want to throw out, hey, Drew Brees and Eli Manning turned it around and won Super Bowls, well, there are a lot more names you could throw out that didn't. And so they're going to have to reconcile with this. I truly did think it would benefit Ryan if he's the one that comes out and says, all right, we really just feel like this guy needs time. We understand he had only 573 pass attempts in college. Yeah, our Super Bowl defense, you know, the timeline didn't exactly work with a longer developmental process for Mitch, but here we are, and we're going to be patient with this guy. Now, it might not be popular because they're not winning games, and they're going to fall short, it appears, of their Super Bowl expectations, but maybe that's the way to go. And I look back to Decatur when we were there in late July when I asked Ryan about Mitch's camp and his season, and Ryan said he just wanted to see steady incremental growth. And I thought, wow, that is a low bar. That is a really low bar. And I just, looking back on that, I wonder if Pace had seen it through OTAs that he thought, whoa, these expectations, you know, these guys talking about Super Bowl at the Bears 100 convention stuff, it's too much. It's too much for this guy. Now that cat got out of the bag and the Bears were not able to manage that well or didn't manage that well. But now, when you talk about the need for patience and maybe this slower arc that, okay, quarterbacks in 2016, you guys mentioned Jared Goff, that he's going through. Quarterbacks in 2018, they're going through. Okay, if you want to say Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson are the outliers, I'll buy that. But here's the thing. You had a chance to pick one of those outliers.
Yeah.
You had the pick in 2017. So, you know, if you want to say, okay, Mitch is the norm, okay, I'll buy that. But you had a chance. You were the one picking in 2017 to go outside the norm, and they didn't.
I the thing that is chilling is the idea that maybe he's the guy that has to take the next quarterback, the guy that signed Mike Glennon, the guy that drafted Mitch. Does he identify at all with Colin Kaepernick? Does he see himself in Kaepernick in any way?
Will they be there Saturday?
I would be absolutely stunned if Colin Kaepernick became a Bear. And there's multiple reasons for that. But as far as Saturday's workout goes, think about this. If you're Matt Nagy and you're on the up on the lectern every day and you're discussing Mitch's development and you're the voice of the organization, you know, Pace has made Ryan or Matt the voice of the organization, and Matt's expressing confidence in his development, and they're also managing Mitch's confidence behind the scenes. And then you read that Ryan Pace was at Colin Kaepernick's workout on Saturday. How do you think that's going to go over? I mean, that's mixed messaging all the way from your quarterback through your fan base. So I just don't see that. I do think that at this point, you know, without knowing how the final seven games play out, the Bears are going to have to consider every option at quarterback if they feel like their defense is championship ready, which I think we agree it should be if the offense is doing its part. So that means every option, that's Colin Kaepernick's in there. Now they could maybe dismiss him outright. Maybe they have another plan. We'll see how it plays out, but I would be stunned if Kaepernick were a Bear.
Yeah, I would be too, but I think anyway. It would be nice if Pace went, maybe pulled his hat down over his head, went by himself. All right, great stuff. Appreciate it,
Thanks,
Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Good job.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.